This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wang Shaning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 5th of August, and we're back in the studios once again after an eventful weekend, I take it. So I was wondering, I was looking at you in as you arrived this morning, Shaning, and do you actually successfully manage to escape the weekend at the beach without a tan? Congratulations.
Of course, I was under the biggest umbrella, the biggest tree, the highest SPF. I did go out at 6:50 in the morning for a run, 6:45.
But then sun's barely up.
Then, yeah, that's right? The idea, guys. You know, avoid the sun like the plague.
Speaking of running, you got into my head. Well done, Shaoning. So I finally came out of my hibernation over the weekend.
Well done.
I know, but I went for a walk. But I did think of you, though, when I was going for a walk. I was wondering if we were to go for a run together, would I have to run?
I know you have really long legs, and that was so mean, okay? I'm sure I'm still fitter than you.
Oh, no, I'm not disputing that you're much fitter, but I'm just wondering whether...
No. We'll do the 5km, not the 100-meter dash, because that one, you probably can walk, but the 5km run, okay?
It's the endurance thing. But then, hey,
you can run. Like,
Sharit would take one step for your two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So endurance-wise.
Let's do the 5K, okay? Terrible. But it was a lovely run in Chirating, actually. There were monkeys that kept me company.
Yes, I saw them on your Facebook. And it was the first post, I think, in like 2 months. And the first thing I see on my timeline was Shaoning posting pictures of monkeys.
But they were so cute. They were like just staring at me when I was running. I was like, oh my gosh, they're adorable. Then my friend's like, did they attack you? I'm like, no, these are not monkeys from like Penang Hill or Batu Caves, okay? They look very docile, thank God.
Okay, good. Yeah, especially when... I mean, I guess it's someone who has pale skin and
they probably thought another monkey. But you know what, guys? I want to say one thing about Malaysians. I was actually very proud to be a Malaysian in Chirating this weekend because there was very, very, very little garbage on the beach.
Really? That's good to hear.
There were in the past, I've seen like bottles, plastic straws, plastic bags, all sorts of rubbish. This time, the beach was practically spotless.
That's nice.
So
to
I'm
hear.
Wondering whether people are just becoming more mindful. It's education, but it's working. So the beaches are pleasant. Please go back and support our own local beaches.
And be sure to clean up after yourselves as well.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That's good to hear.
All right, but in the meantime, though, this morning, we've got lots of things lined up for you. And what are we going to be talking about first of all?
Laziness, which I am not because I did my run on Sunday. Well, you know, sometimes I admit it's hard to motivate myself, but then I just plow on, you know. But maybe for others, there are real reasons why they can't get their tasks done. So what's your reason? And we'll be talking about that later.
Okay, interesting. At the same time, I think the weekend was quite hyped over the possible introduction of Khat, which is an Arabic alphabet, or Jawi, as it is known, in the BM or Bahasa Melayu syllabus. There's been some concerns that's been raised whether how it would impact cultures, especially the multicultural society that we have. Whether or not do we stand to gain by adding an Arabic calligraphy? That would be our question.
And also, we're going to be talking about some of the typos that might change a life. And if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be heading into a song. Here's Roxanne by The Police, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Think I'm In Love by Beck, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Shaoning. Now, I don't know about you, but autocorrect is my nemesis. So sometimes, you know, when you're typing, you're shooting off a text to someone really fast and you don't really look at it, and then suddenly you look back and see, oh, actually, autocorrect changed my message into something completely different from what I intended, and you have like 5 seconds of embarrassment before you send a correction. So actually, I meant to say this. But in some other cases, you know... typos can have a much larger impact on your life than those few seconds of embarrassment, because there's this Guardian article looking into some of the massive butterfly effects of human error magnified by technology. And some of these stories are sweet, some of them are scary. On the one hand, you've got the wrong company winding up. On the other hand, you've got a wrong number text that led to a marriage and a successful kidney transplant. And you've also got this poor gentleman who was trying to drive to Rome, and instead of typing in R-O-M-E into his sat-nav, he typed in R-O-M and wound up in the wrong country. So I guess it makes me wonder, are we too reliant on technology, or is it just that technology has made its way so intrinsically into our lives that we're starting to run into the danger of these kinds of mistakes?
Yeah, so I mean, technology has managed to convince us that they are, I guess, they bring a lot of good. They bring a lot of good.
I mean, they're very convenient,
life, right? And convenient, right? And it helps. But there is just those little areas. So the thing about technology is that there's a lot of people who focuses on trying to improve the technology, right? There are a lot of sort of loopholes, and then we're talking about hackers and cybersecurity, and so much effort being put there. But one thing people forget is that one of the major weaknesses with technology is the human error itself. So basic things like numbers and so forth, once it's being keyed wrong, instead of Rome, you get to Rom, which is in Germany, which is, especially when you have your grandfather driving there, it can be a very scary experience.
Actually, it's a good reminder that sometimes in life, so little is in our control, right? We always think we're the masters of the universe, that we are we determine our own fate. But that's not necessarily the case, right? So these stories really remind us that everything sometimes is so random. And sometimes it's just down to incredibly bad luck for some of these individuals.
Have either of you ever experienced this, though? Like, for example, typing in the wrong address into a GPS or something else?
Well, I've sent people, wanted to say you're very mature, but I said you're manure.
Oh, my. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, alamak. And then I think the person was like, I think you mean mature. I'm like, yes, of course.
not that bad though for me.
You haven't had anything so
bullish. I have. I just can't recall anything. But I have sent intimate messages to perhaps my bosses. I mean, those were some of my...
Oh, sayang to the wrong sayang.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, those are my common mistakes. I get, because it's so convenient, sometimes you just tap wrongly in that sense.
Yeah, it's true. It's
embarrassing.
Yeah, because this Guardian article did highlight one of the common cases, particularly with parole officers, for example, drug dealers sending the wrong messages to the wrong people because, you maybe send out a blast message of exactly the wrong kind to the wrong person. But yeah, I mean, I guess it also made me wonder, what is it that we use technology for nowadays? Because I feel like a lot of the times we use technology when we don't necessarily need to. Like, for example, Waze is a big one for me, right? I will Waze everywhere. And it's to the point where actually even for some common daily commutes, if you take away my phone, I'll be very uncertain as to where I'm actually going. But in the old days, they never used to do this, right? And actually actually also just getting lost and figuring out your way home is a really good way to figure out where you're going, because you remember after you've made that mistake and panicked about it for a second, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it turns out to be an adventure. I mean, I've done that before where on the map, it looks like it's a shorter route, but little did we know that it's a smaller road. It's all windy and it takes like more than an hour extra to get to the destination. But I think it's just the way we approach innovation. I mean, this is how I see it, especially with, for an example now, the thing that people talk about is AI, right? Basically, AI is just another human brain. So my question is, what's wrong with the current human brain, right? So why would you want to develop another human brain?
No, but the other things scare me. For example, like everybody uses internet banking, right? I am so fearful of putting in the wrong account number, right? Because it's like 7-8 digits. They all look the same, isn't it? And I'm like, I double check, triple check, and I'm nervous. What happens if I send the money to the wrong person? And it's something anyone could do.
It really is.
So sometimes
I'm also quite paranoid.
We are forced to use technology. We don't have any choice, but how do we make sure we don't make errors? And we are human after all.
Yeah, we do. And I mean, what are the odds, right? Well, once you key in the name, that the person's name is, instead of shouting as an OU, becomes an AU, AO, and I could
I'll give you my account number later, Cheryl.
Save it everywhere. Write it down. Put it in a post-it on your forehead. There you go.
There you go.
Well, let us know what you think about it. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And tell us if you, like us, are too reliant on technology. Now we're coming up on a couple of messages, though, and then we'll be back to talk to you about laziness and whether it exists. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Hand in My Pocket by Alanis Morissette. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Shanning. Now, here's a philosophical question for you. Does laziness actually exist? Because there's this psychologist and a professor, and on Medium, they put forward that it doesn't. Laziness doesn't exist. And that if we think someone is lazy, it's quite likely that we're missing out on some part of their context. Like, for example, perhaps they have a disability, for example, for a lot of mental health disabilities, depression, for example, that comes with a lack of motivation and it is invisible. So most people will not be able to recognize it just by looking at someone.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could be lack of motivation, but one thing about depression, I mean, if we look at it in a scientific way, it could go beyond that. It could also be chemical imbalance in some ways. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors. So laziness, some associated with the word procrastination. I mean, in some ways, it's nice to procrastinate. It's always a joy. But, I mean, psychologists spend a lot of time trying to figure out why people procrastinate, right? Because, so in this article, it's in some ways, it is trying to be a bit more empathetic, saying that, hey, look, some people procrastinate as a reason that they feel paralyzed in some ways. They don't know, they don't have the right skill or equipment, but they do have the right intention. Sometimes it just... That
doesn't translate.
Yeah, translate is one thing, but because they care about it so much that they feel overwhelmed as a result, you know, of wanting to undertake that task, and as a result, they don't move, and which translates with a negative connotation, which is the word procrastination.
At what point do you draw the line, and then it's just down to just being lazy, right? I mean, after a while, there are only so many excuses one can make for not doing a task.
Mm. Yeah.
So how do you know when it's really something serious?
True.
Versus when the person is just lazy, L-A-Z-Y.
Okay, right, where's the door?
No, so you know, because... Okay, y'all in the office will know that, you know, I try to fit a million things into my day, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, come on, if you've got things to do, you've got to start somewhere, right? Okay, I understand sometimes you don't know where to begin. But the to-do list is a wonderful way to start, right?
Yeah.
And then you prioritize and then you make your way through the list.
Mm.
And true, some days you can't just finish everything on the list. That's fine. But you're going to make some headway. Otherwise, that list is just going to get longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, I think where it really becomes clearer that maybe there are some other issues at play is when the procrastination moves into this task is really a real pain. I don't really want to do it. It's unpleasant, and I'm going to put it off for like an hour. Like, for example, an assignment that you know is going to be a significant portion of your grade, and you stress about it and you stress about it and you stress about it, and in the end, you don't turn it in. And it is that which a lot of people will look at it from the outside and say, oh, you know, this person didn't turn in this assignment, didn't hit this quota. And they don't see the thought process that went into it or the fear that came into it. And then you just see that they didn't complete the task.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will immediately write that off as laziness. And I think that I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, so I tend to veer towards your side of things, Shanning, right? Because I have very structured systems. So I will have to-do lists. I will have, I will break down tasks into smaller segments. So it's kind of more achievable in that sense, right? But I have also been on the side of, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, you know, you've got this much to study or you've got this many things to take on. And in that moment, it feels huge and it feels like an insurmountable amount of work. And the immediate instinct is to just not do it because you don't want to take it on and fail. And that is one of the things that this psychology professor is saying, that actually in a lot of these cases that she's seen, they've seen in their classes, is that when a lot of these students who don't turn in their assignments, don't finish their tasks, they're not the ones that don't care. They're the ones that care a lot.
Yeah.
And it is that that amount of care that actually feeds into the anxiety that causes the procrastination.
Yeah, so the concern is that these are the things that could be used as an excuse, right? And that's where you don't know where do you draw the line, whether someone is genuinely concerned or just overwhelmed with their work or just plain, as you mentioned, lazy, you know? So I think it's just, I see this as a human or social sort of issue in some ways, how humans now are quite afraid to engage another person, for example, asking for help. I mean, when you are overwhelmed, first thing you think the responsible thing to do is first be transparent about it, or at least be honest about it and say, hey, look, this is overwhelming. So that itself proves that there is an effort. So you spend 1 hour just looking at the blank piece of paper and nothing happens, right? So what do? Do you go out and have a puff, or do you run away and go watch a movie? So that itself indicates that you're not making an effort, right? At least it's to engage people when it comes, whatever it is, assignment, projects, you know.
It's true. Sometimes you have to say no. Sometimes the task is too huge for you. Just say no if it's too much, or at least negotiate it down. You're right.
Or ask for help, right?
Yeah, ask for help.
Yeah, get some direction.
And I think a lot of laziness is training from young. Sorry. So, you know, just get going on your task when you're young, and you're older, you kind of get used to it.
All right, well, let us know what you think about this. Does laziness exist? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're heading into the 6:30 news, and to take you there, here is Overkill by Men at Work, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Just Like Heaven by The Cure, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. Now, our Education Minister, Dr. Mazli Malik, he's expressed a readiness to consider introducing other styles of calligraphy apart from khat, which is a form of Malay Arabic calligraphy or jawi writing, in the school curriculum. And this is apparently an issue to be discussed in more detail. But nevertheless, the entire discussion has blown up a little bit over the weekend, right? So it's on the cover of a number of the papers this morning as well. So I guess the question is, why is this something that is being considered, right? Is it something that's going to add to our cultural diversity in the schooling system?
So I think that's my first impression of that. You know, when I first saw the headline, I needed to read about it a little bit more. And then as I was reading, it was one thing that I think appealed to me was the idea of sort of reintroducing our heritage just to get back to our roots. And that, on the offset, it sounds quite appealing, especially when it comes to, for an example, the art side of things. Because I think our society has been driven so much on science and math. And so having some, you know, when we talk about calligraphy, it could be, of course, be mindful, though, that what they are saying is the introductory of calligraphy rather than mastery of calligraphy. So that's that to take note of. And so whether or not there could be people out there who are interested in this path could consider mastering it later on. But my question is, why do we stop at khat? There's a lot of things that we have forsaken in some ways, our heritage.
Yeah.
We're talking from dances to other calligraphy, you know, other characters of other cultures, for example, from Chinese characters as well, and also Tamil as well, you know, in that sense. So why stop there? If we want to talk about cultural integration, we want to talk about heritage, don't stop at khat. I think introductory to all would be something that would be enriching for us, at least Malaysians.
My question is, can time be used more effectively in the teaching of the khat? I mean, the students already, right? They only have, how many, 8 hours a day in school or
something's
less?
Something's got to give, right?
Yeah, something's got to give. I mean, and if we really wanted to teach something, is this a priority in terms of curriculum, is my question.
Does it have to be compulsory part of...
Is there something better to teach our students, more useful for them? I mean, and of course, that's up to endless debate, right, in terms of what is useful. I mean, things like writing skills, computer programming, would that be more useful in today's world? I'm not saying don't teach it, but maybe it could be something taught at art class. As opposed to like part of a Bahasa Malaysia curriculum. Would time be better spent actually just learning Bahasa Malaysia instead then?
Yeah, I think one of the arguments for teaching khat in as part of Bahasa Melayu would be taking a look at Mandarin, for example, because as part of Chinese lessons, students are taught, and in a lot of schools, these Chinese lessons are applied regardless of your ethnicity. So Malay, Chinese and Indian, you all learn Mandarin and you all learn how to write Chinese characters. But, and you know, this is coming from someone who remembers nothing at all of Chinese class. But this, for me, this would be between the two, I would still go for Chinese, just because of the fact that Chinese characters are in still in daily use here in Malaysia, because you have the Chinese papers, for example. In a lot of segments of society, you do communicate almost solely through Chinese characters, whereas Arabic calligraphy and khat is not so much of a daily part of our society. So I don't necessarily see where the necessity would be there, aside from keeping our students in touch with their cultural heritage or history, which perhaps is not. I think the time could eventually at the end of the day be better spent with part of at least in terms of the compulsory Malay language components.
So I think it is definitely a valid argument whether or not time could be spent on doing something else. But, I mean, just reading a lot about technology these days. I mean, one thing for sure is that we're looking at a time where a lot of things are going to be automated, a lot of things are going to be sort of robotic in some ways, right? So what's going to distinguish between humans and all these robots? It's our uniqueness, it's our culture, and for example, our creativity. Our capacity for human error
as
well.
As we were discussing earlier.
That's right. So, I mean, and especially in the globalized world, I mean, we are exposed to a lot of, for example, Western characters and so forth, ideologies. And what's going to make us stand out in this world is going to be our culture, our uniqueness. And if we look back, I mean, where khat began, it was way back even during the, historically during the Malacca time, right? And that was how it began. Whether or not it could transform into something bigger, eventually something that could eventually lead to sales, for an example, all this art, that remains a question because it's all about interest. And I think just like we've been speaking about Chinese being an option, read the vernacular school, having Chinese language to be learned and Indian language as well as an option, I think that would be a great direction. I mean, we should be able to choose, you know, what is it that interests us? Because we're so dynamic, we're so diverse that eventually someone has to, you know, have that, find that, be able to expose to that, be exposed to that niche, you know.
Well, Well, this is something that we're going to be talking about throughout the day as well, because there are a number of education stories in the news this morning. And so in line with that, we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking, should khat be taught in schools? Do tell us why or why not. That's running now, so you can vote now. You have about 2 hours left to weigh in on that conversation before we take a look at the final results. In the meantime, here is some messages for you, and then we'll be taking a look at social media. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharids and Shanning. That was Wide Eyes by Local Natives. Now, we've been talking about lots of things this morning. We've been talking about typos and human error. We've been talking about laziness. And we've been talking about whether or not to introduce khat in as part of our school system. And we've received some text messages and some WhatsApps from you this morning. Thank you very much. Rose says, just a word of warning, if you like to text both in English and Malay and are trying to be sympathetic or to correct changes, kasihan to lesbian. I can imagine that wasn't really what you were going for there.
That is awkward. That is indeed awkward. So I mean,
What else do we have as well this morning?
That's right. Okay. So on this subject as well, I think Marcus texted in via WhatsApp saying that he's worried about digital dementia and used to be able to remember phone numbers, but now I don't because I rely on my phone to remember every single number. Now as I'm texting this, I'm going to start remembering phone numbers like how it used to be in the 90s.
I used to have a little phone book that I would keep write things down in. And you know what? When I was quite young. I still remember. Which wasn't that long ago. But when I was seven years old, I had this phone book and I wrote down my best friend's phone number. And I still remember it after all these years. I don't speak to her anymore. I don't think I've seen her in about 20 years.
Fossilized memory.
It's a fossilized memory. And so I remember a grand total of, I think, maybe four phone numbers in my life, my parents' phone numbers, my house number, aside from my own, of course, and this girl's number, whom I haven't seen in 20 years.
Yeah, I cried when they started introducing eight numbers.
you cry, Sharon. Yeah. My
capacity was up to seven. As soon as they introduced one more number and that's it, I was like, oh my God, you know,
this is one number too much. I can't take it.
I have a board at my house for my kids where it's emergency contacts, and I'm trying to get them to memorize those numbers just in case something happens.
Yeah, we have a laminated sheet in my house.
Yeah, I put it in a frame, so I'm one step better.
And we also have Mr. Tan who chimed in on about laziness, and he said in his day, we have no time to be lazy or come up with excuses. He had to work to pay for his studies and keep up with classes. He says young people today have it so easy. Yeah. So he obviously doesn't believe in laziness.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a tough subject, isn't it?
I think it's a bit debatable, honestly.
Yeah. Mm. And we also got a WhatsApp from Kevin Yong. Now, this is with regards to Khat. Now, Thai students are learning coding, and we are introducing Khat, which is a primitive language that even the Malays hardly use it. Learning something new isn't going to make Malaysia better academically. In fact, it only make them worse. So this is interesting. I mean, definitely Khat. I mean, Khat is a calligraphy. Jawi is what people used to use before Roman alphabet was introduced. Mm. That was back in the day. So I can see how it was, you know, some could see how it could be obsolete. But I think the focus should be on calligraphy, because if we look at, we also got another WhatsApp from Lim here. Calligraphy inspired Steve Jobs to appreciate typefaces, which Apple became famous for. So I think that's how I saw it, is whether or not it's a form of art and whether or not it could sort of cater to that segment of our population. Because there's just been so much emphasis on science and maths, which I'm not saying that it's, you know, not
it's
important.
It's not a bad thing.
But
yeah,
as a whole society, whether or not, yeah, more art things or art-related subject could be useful for us in that
and
sense.
Samantha WhatsApped in, she said, I would think that the minister has other priorities in terms of education policy, and instead he introduces Khat. In the scheme of things, it doesn't seem so important, right?
Yeah, I think unfortunately, Mazli Malik has become associated with these kinds of policy moves that are kind of, you know, on the one hand, slightly questionable. On the other hand, you wonder how relevant they are to imparting education to our schools. It's like the black shoes or the heavy school bag system.
Yeah, we are 1 year into this new government, and I was looking forward to a new education policy or framework. Has there been one? Not really, right?
Yes.
Everything is rather piecemeal.
So piecemeal. That's the word, right? I mean, how is this? Are we introducing small pieces together and then eventually coming out with something big? But normally it's always good to just start off with a plan, isn't it, before you start introducing this little small programs.
Well, we will be continuing this conversation about the education system in Malaysia throughout the morning. And in line with that, we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We're asking, should Khat be taught in schools? Tell us why or why not. You've got about 2 hours left to weigh in on that conversation, so be sure to let us know what you think. In the meantime, here's the 7 o'clock news, and after that, the business end of the morning run. So here's I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2 to take you there. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.